Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good afternoon, Wednesday. We are halfway to the weekend. I'll have a little more to say about the state wanting to maybe do something to restrict some of the advertising of lawyers that we see on television. Again, you don't see this in every city. You don't see this everywhere, but you see a lot of it here. And while I agree that anybody has a right to, well, almost anybody has a right to advertise, obviously, if it's a legal business, there are some things about the lawyers' advertisements that are misleading. So I'm not finished talking about that. We'll talk about that a little more coming up. And if you're on hold, please stay with us. We'll get to your calls and more of your texts as soon as we can. There is an attack on free speech in America, and that almost sounds like a cliche. Because of my position being in the media, and because I have studied communication theory over the years, I'm very in tune with this threat to freedom of speech. Many of you may not be aware of it because, you know, in your bars, in your homes, wherever you are, you know, the office, you can talk freely. You can bash the president. You could have bashed Biden. You could bash Trump. You can praise Trump. You can say whatever you want. You can be critical of the government, and you can't be arrested. Essentially, you can't be arrested. And this is all protected under the First Amendment. But I have warned from the beginning of this second term of President Trump that there are things happening with freedom of speech that, as a member of the media, concern me dearly. And you might not be aware of these things, and that's why I want to talk about this. At the same time that U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi is talking about maintaining integrity of the First Amendment of the Constitution, her boss, President Trump, is calling for networks to have their broadcast licenses revoked. Now, it's no secret that Donald Trump is very sensitive to criticism. I mean, he's a human. Most humans are sensitive to criticism. But it seems like he wants to manifest his anger and criticism in the form of revenge. The idea of a president of the United States taking away a broadcast license over something that the broadcast network is promoting or talking about that is negative toward the president, I mean, this is frightening because this is the mentality of a dictatorship. What really got my attention recently was when CBS executive Bill Owens, one of the top producers of 60 Minutes, when he recently resigned, saying that he was losing his journalistic independence. Basically, he was saying they can't do what they really want to do, and they're afraid of what President Trump might do to them. The fear of the media expressing freedom of speech, the fear of the media telling the truth because a president might take away their license, to me, this is frightening. Let's see if I'm right to be afraid. Stephen Griffin is a professor of law at Tulane University. He knows all about this topic of freedom of speech. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to be with you.
Am I right to be concerned?
I think in general, look, the First Amendment experts I most respect, some of them publish with the Foundation on Individual Rights and Expression. It's called FIRE. They're seriously concerned. And one of their areas of concern is sort of the pressure. I would say the Trump administration is is just putting a lot of pressure on the media in general. And there are particular ideas that they're going after. Now, some of the sites where they're doing this perhaps don't seem important to some. You know, it has to do also with ideas about what's called DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. But there have been attacks even before the Trump administration by conservatives, let's say in Florida, on literally the expression of ideas. Now, the examples I'm familiar with were actually struck down by the federal courts, but that shows you that they crossed the line. And it's actually interesting. I was interviewed, you know, for recently by 60 Minutes on a topic of possibly impeaching judges. I can't help but wonder if that's one of the stories that they were pursuing, mm-hmm. and then it was suggested to them that was a bad idea.
But this idea that a threat from a president, I don't care who the president is, but a threat from the president would cause the media to hold back on something that is true or hold back on an investigation that they've done that sheds negative light on the White House. To me, this is frightening.
That's right. And I think you're correct to point out the dangers of the fact that the federal government is in charge of licensing these broadcast corporations. Now, that's something we've seen before, where at least President Nixon wanted, I'm not sure he ever went through with it, but he wanted to cause these media corporations, notably the Washington Post, which I think also owns some radio stations, he wanted to cause them trouble. This was leverage, in other words, that he could reach out and use. And yes, it's very troubling that the Trump administration would even consider this. And I don't see any basis for it other than, they don't like these what's being said or their ideas. And yeah, that's a direct violation of the First Amendment. Right.
Professor, let's go to the basics here. The First Amendment protects the rights of Americans, including the media, to speak freely about government officials. And one of the original roles of the media was to hold politicians accountable for their behavior in office. And the First Amendment gives us freedom of expression. The other thing that is really unique to America relative to the world is that in a lot of countries, the government owns the media. In this country, one of our great gems is the media is part of the free market society and regulated by the government, but not owned by the government. And there seems to be this new mentality that the government should own the media, that the government can dictate what the media says.
That's right. And if I could just add, the legal side, how we express this is that how the Supreme Court expresses it is the government can't regulate the content of speech, and the government can't discriminate on the basis of viewpoint. And those any attempt to do that receives the judiciary calls the highest level of scrutiny, which means it's almost always struck down. And so the fact, if you can show that the reason you're in trouble with the government is because they're objecting, as you said, to what you say, the content, then it's a clear violation of the First Amendment. And the Supreme Court has been very consistent on this point, which is one of the reasons why First Amendment advocates are justified in getting upset.
All right, Professor, the government regulates the media. They don't regulate what is said, but there are regulations, FCC regulations, concerning profanity. So make that distinction.
It's been a while since I read those cases, but there are certain narrowly defined categories of what you might call speech that are not regarded as protected under the First Amendment. And one of them is obscenity. So it's been difficult to define, but to the extent you're saying something that's commonly regarded in society as obscene, the Supreme Court doesn't regard that as protected speech. Another example is if you're not just saying some general idea, but you target someone. Now, I'm not just talking about defamation, but when you target someone deliberately in a malign way, that's also an example of speech that is not protected. So there's a zone, a very broad zone of speech that can't be regulated on the basis of its content, but there are exceptions.
Now, let's talk about the technical part of this. If President Trump doesn't like what a network is doing, and the broadcast network continues to do it, what can he physically do to stop the network from doing that?
Well, you see, one of the things that's been going on in the background that people are really concerned about is that at the same time that President Trump is trying to do specific things, he's also trying to gain more power over what regulatory agencies do, like the FCC, like the agency that licenses media corporations. He's trying to exercise, in effect, more personal control over all of these agencies. If he's successful in that general objective, then that opens up vast possibilities for him to exercise more personal control over the decision-making of these agencies. Now, that's something that's going on in the background that legal scholars are very concerned about. What's going on in the foreground is, even if he doesn't win what he's trying to do to the agencies, he can still, all presidents have the ability to try to influence determinations of what agencies do. But if they're successful, that's not the end of the road, though. A bad decision or a decision that goes against the First Amendment, that can be challenged in court. But I'm sure, I'll imagine the media corporations want their licenses renewed without the need for a long legal battle against the Trump administration. But such a battle may be exactly what the administration wants.
But the administration can't literally unplug a network, can it?
Well, the way I understand it, it could deny a license. Now, look, it would be litigated, and presumably the license would not be terminated until the litigation was over. But it's a chancy business. You're talking about something that makes, and see, these media corporations, they have a lot of different interests. For example, there's speculation that the CBS decision was influenced by, you know, their ultimate owner, which I guess is maybe Sherry Redstone. Yeah. And in other words, these media corporations are not necessarily in control of their own destiny in the sense that you know, CBS, you know, is used to be sort of independent, but it's not if it's owned by some larger entity with conflicting values and other interests, like antitrust. It could be antitrust interests. It could be almost anything. Yeah. Or they want to take the company private, or they want to sell it. Look, it could be almost anything. They could have irons in the fire with the SEC, but that makes them vulnerable to pressure, not simply before the FCC, but to all these other agencies as well. And that's one of the things that's going on in the background.
All right, so is there more that a president can do with the broadcast networks, like CBS, ABC, NBC, than it can do with cable networks like Fox, CNN, and MSNBC?
I'm not aware of a sharp distinction there. They all need permission to be on the air. I could be wrong, and there could be a separate body of law devoted to cable, but I really think as long as they're generally available to the public, they have to obey the same rules. But I'm beyond my expertise at that point.
From my perspective, it was the broadcast network's use of the public airwaves, as it was declared years ago, that would make a distinction for CBS, ABC, and NBC over the cable news networks. Professor, I want to ask you about the fairness doctrine, and I'd love to hold you over through a break, but I have to ask you if you have time.
I can go for a little longer, yes.
Okay, great. All right. Because I want to talk about the fairness doctrine, and I know we can't get too deeply into it, but we'll talk a little bit about the fairness doctrine and where we are today as a result of the fairness doctrine going away. And again, for those of you who just lead everyday lives and you feel like you've got freedom of speech, okay, you've got freedom of speech, but there are things happening with Donald Trump and the media that, concerning freedom of speech, are really, really scary. I'm Scoot.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll be right back. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we're talking about freedom of speech. And I've talked about this on the show a lot recently, really since the re-election of Donald Trump, because from my perspective in the media, I see a real danger zone that we're entering when it comes to protecting freedom of speech. And again, you might not experience this in your everyday life, but you do experience the media. And if the media doesn't have freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, then our country is not properly served. And one of the gems of our American society is freedom of speech and a media that is not owned by the government. We're talking to Professor Stephen Griffin, Tulane Law Professor at Tulane University. Look, Professor, I want to just talk about this briefly. The Fairness Doctrine was in effect until, I think, 1985. Ronald Reagan had won re-election, and Ronald Reagan really ended the Fairness Doctrine, and that really led us to where we are today, because just simply put, I guess, the Fairness Doctrine basically held the media accountable to presenting both sides of an issue fairly. When that went away, that opened the door for people like Rush Limbaugh and other radio stations, TV stations as well, to present any opinion they wanted in a lopsided manner without offering equal time, correct?
I've heard this a version of the critique many times, and you know, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that keep in mind, conservatives. This was a part of an early victory for what I'll call the conservative legal movement. Conservatives really went after the Fairness Doctrine as an unmistakable example of government regulation of speech. I mean, there's no way around it. It was government regulation of speech, and illustrates the really tough choices, because there's no way to really implement a doctrine of fairness without some kind of standard, and you'd have to be talking about some kind of government mandated standard. At the same time, it illustrates the benefits you can have by sort of clearing a space where everyone understands, hey, you can't put extreme stuff on without balancing it out. And it's true. Once you remove the government regulator, people could go wild. I think there's some assumption that, you know, the free marketplace would balance out itself. But as you're saying, there's a good argument that didn't happen. But just keep in mind, conservatives had an argument. They had an argument based on the First Amendment itself, which was you shouldn't be regulating content in the first place.
Right. I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
The First Amendment is kind of a double-edged sword at that point. You know, that kind of the initial regulation, remember, of radio and all that is based on the idea of a limited spectrum.
Right.
But that started eroding under, you know, cable news and so forth. But you know that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I've always found interesting is that with my show, I'm a registered independent. I describe myself as a radical moderate. I'm conservative on some issues. I'm liberal on some issues. A lot of people are uncomfortable when they can't label you either conservative or liberal, but that's not my problem. What I find interesting is those who watch Fox News and they support conservative radio and they love that and they love the theory that they can say what they want to say, but they're critical of me for expressing a different opinion. And really, what I do is no different from what the conservative, the true conservative media does, which is express an opinion. And it's really no different. And I just find it so hypocritical that so many say, well, you know, what you're doing is wrong. You need to be objective. And yet they're supporting Fox News and conservative radio.
Well, I'll tell you, even on campus, people who support a broad spectrum of views have had an extremely difficult time convincing both students mainly and faculty that that's what the First Amendment is all about, a spectrum of views. There's a scholar who used to be at Princeton, now at Yale, and he's basically on the conservative or libertarian side, Keith Whittington. He's written very effectively on these issues, documenting over and over again. It's very easy to document that everyone seemed to be interested in the maximum freedom of expression to express their own views, and then they really don't want to hear anyone else's. You've got to, if you're in control of one of these public spaces, whether it's a station or a campus, you've got to embrace what you might call an ecumenical viewpoint, or you're not coming from where the First Amendment is coming from.
It just fascinates me that so many Americans are just so lacking of an understanding of what the First Amendment really represents. And the freedom to express one opinion is paralleled by the freedom to express another opinion. And it certainly is easy for Americans to support free speech when they agree with the speech. The challenge is for Americans to support free speech when they don't agree with the speech.
That's right. And in my lifetime, the most obvious example of this playing out, seemingly over and over again, is these attempts to control what goes into libraries.
Yes.
And I'm not even talking about schools, because that can be a different context, but just regular public libraries, it just plays out over and over again. Certainly, we had a conflict where I live in St. Tammany Parish. When that happens, though, there are a lot of friends of the libraries, and you know what they mean, emerge. And what happens is people find out that there's really more diversity of opinion about what should be in a library. But libraries are a good example where, there are choices to be made about what goes in them. But once you have that spectrum of views, a certain amount of toleration is called for, or the whole thing can't work.
Should we be concerned that President Trump will ignore the rulings of judges, the rulings of the courts, and move forward with an attempt to really end freedom of speech the way we know it today?
Yeah, I think that's premature. I think we're actually, I know people are talking about that, but I think we're actually a long way from any, some sort of definitive opinion by the judiciary, or really some kind of a showdown. And it's really hard to know whether the administration is interested in having some kind of showdown. Yeah. But I think in the end, good sense will prevail, partly because they don't have one or two issues before the court. They have dozens, and they want to prevail. Yeah. And that's understandable. And the courts are going to, in effect, say to them, if you want our good faith, then you have to show us good faith as far as implementing sometimes opinions you may not agree with. And I think that's the way it's going to play out.
Interesting consideration. How much pressure can the public, can the voters put on the administration to recognize that freedom of speech is a key to American society?
Well, I think there's no doubt there's a role there. Again, it's hard to convince people that there's a role for views they don't like. I think libraries are a good example, a way to get through to people that it's a balance of views and considerations. But I think it's also a mistake to think that, like, the Trump administration is above public opinion. It's way too early to conclude something like that. And so public opinion can make a difference. If people are exercised enough about this, then they can make a difference even, you know, when we're not in an election cycle.
And we are seeing Republicans stand up and disagree with Donald Trump, which they did not do during the campaign. And Donald Trump is a very proud person who wants to always have a lot of support. So maybe vicariously through representatives, people can have a voice in this matter.
That's right. That's right. And that's what I think will happen.
Professor Stephen Griffin, professor of law at Tulane, thank you for your time, your expertise. I really enjoyed our conversation.
I did, too. Thanks very much for having me.
All right, Professor. Thanks for being with us. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. How much are you willing to stand up and respect speech that you disagree with? Anybody can accept the speech that they agree with. I mean, that's easy. Anybody can do that. The real challenge of a true American is to accept the speech that they disagree with as free speech. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 2012, Ted Nugent was kicked off the bill on a concert tour at the U.S. military base at Fort Knox following the controversy over his rant against President Barack Obama when Ted Nugent insisted that Americans had to rise up against Obama and the Democrats when America goes to the polls in November. Well, a lot of people agree with that message, and Ted Nugent was expressing his freedom of speech, but the U.S. military concert series has a right to have on who they want to have on, and if there was disrespect given to their commander-in-chief, I guess they had a right to do that. Before I get to your calls and text, one more quick thought about lawyers and their commercials. And we talked about this extensively earlier in the show. I believe that lawyers have a right to advertise, and lawyers are needed because insurance companies do not want to give people the money that they deserve. But my problem is that a lot of these people in these lawyer commercials are paid actors, and in very small print, they try to hide it that they're paid actors. They want you to think that getting this money, getting into a car accident and getting this money, that you're like doing great. I got $500,000. I mean, these people look like they're all ready to go out and party. A lot of people who get $500,000 can't party anymore. Not the way they once did. Sometimes there are permanent damages involved. And that's not represented in these commercials. So if the state wants to regulate some TV commercials to the lawyers, I'm all for it. And again, you don't see this in every state. It's really prominent here, but you don't see this in every state across the country. And I want to remind you that even though somebody says, I got, or somebody got me $100,000, I'm going to just use this as an example. I got $100,000. Well, they got it, but what they don't tell you is they had to give $40,000 to the attorneys, because that's about the going rate, maybe somewhere between 33% and 40%. So instead of $100,000, they're getting $60,000. Still, $60,000 is a lot of money, but you know, don't think that they're getting all of that money, because the lawyers are taking a lot of it. And I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue with the actors. And I think if the state's going to put regulations on the attorney commercials, it should be real clients. Now, you can have a real client sitting down who looks just great from the waist up. What you don't know is they're in a wheelchair and they don't have any legs. Now, would you want $600,000? Would you give up your legs for $600,000? You know, that's the realism that doesn't come out in these commercials. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Jay in Slidell. Jay, welcome to the show.
Okay, Scoot, bear with me for a second because I want to make a couple of points.
Okay.
The first of all thing that I wanted to say that I heard you say is that you don't feel like people conflate with your political ideology that much. That's not accurate. 37% of Americans identify as independent. That's both more than the Democrats and the Republicans. And most people do lean conservative on some issues and liberal on others. Now, you have your outliers at the fringes of both the conservative and liberal movements that are the hardcore problem in this country that seem to get most of the attention. Now, I want to rewind you back about 30 years, Scoot. You were on a TV show hosted by Angela Hill. I was in the audience. This is a very similar topic as what we were talking about that day.
I remember.
And I pointed out that the public interest is what, and it may have changed since then, but in your FCC licensing, the radio stations and TV stations were supposed to operate in the public interest, okay? Now, my point was that A lot of times with the sensational TV and some of the radio programs, that they're taking that fringe audience and promoting it. And that is not operating in the public interest. You told me that you thought I cared too much. Okay?
But I'm sorry, we kind of broke up there. Would you just repeat what you just said?
Well, that I said that the TV stations and the radio stations that promote these fringes like they were doing, especially back in the 90s with the Jerry Springer show, were not operating in the public interest. Okay? And you responded to me that you thought I cared too much. Anyway.
Well, I don't remember that but okay, go ahead.
Well, I do. Anyway, the point that I would like to make is that, okay, I don't know exactly what Donald Trump is intending to do with limiting some of this stuff. But I can tell you this. If he's talking about limiting the influence of institutions like the FBI to go to Facebook and suppress information that they know is true, that's not limiting free speech. That's preventing somebody from making false speech appear true, okay? And I have no problem with having some fact-checking as far as what can and cannot be promoted on Facebook, especially by our government institutions. We look at what happened with COVID. They suppressed the truth. The government did.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't have a problem with limiting speech that suppresses the truth. Now, if you're suppressing an opinion, that's different, okay? But we all have our opinions. We're all entitled to them. But at some point, you know, there's just some really radical stuff out there, especially on the far left. And I think what it comes down to for most people, they don't want their kids exposed to basically delusional thinking. A character in the movie Fight Club put it best, and I'll paraphrase it because I don't want to say exactly what was said in the movie, so you don't have to beat me. But putting feathers up your rear does not make you a chicken. And that's what a lot of people want to limit, is their kids' exposure to delusional thinking.
Well, this is nothing new, Jay. I mean, I agree with a lot of what you say, but worrying about kids and delusional content, you know, goes back to the 50s. I mean, this is something that is old as television. It's as old as radio. I would suggest that when it comes to people like Jerry Springer, I mean, I think the content is total trash. I find it I found it entertaining at times, and really, it's the marketplace that decides. You know, you might not like it, but other people like it. And who are you to try to ban something because you don't want your kids to see it? Your kids see a lot. And I think it's every parent's responsibility to prepare their kids to deal with the realities of life. They're seeing a lot right now. There are so many parents who are just totally in the dark about the pornography that their kids are exposed to on social media and on the internet. So you have to prepare your kids to deal with those things that they're going to be exposed to in the real world. And I think we leave it up to the marketplace to decide. There are people who think that certain TV shows should not be on the air because of their political views, but they have an audience. And it's the audience that determines whether or not they're on the air. If that makes any sense. All right, sounds like Jay left us. All right, Jay, I enjoyed the conversation, Jay. Let's go to James on the North Shore. Hey, James.
Hey, bud. Thanks for having me. First, I want to say something about the jingles real quick. Maybe we can have counter jingles. Because, hey, everyone likes a good little jingle. You could have, like, you don't need a rep to get a check. Just live your life and do it right. You know. Hey, man, let them know that it ain't just about watching a commercial and hoping you won't get a windfall, but you can have some counter jingles about not playing into that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with lawyers having slogans. This was something that somebody was considering banning. I don't have a problem with the slogans. I have a problem with the misrepresentation of what it means to be in a serious car accident. That's my issue. And again, there's one relatively new lawyer advertising. And he features this young African-American male, maybe 17, 18, 19 years old. And he's talking about how something like he doesn't have a job, doesn't have any money, and all of a sudden he got like all this money because he was in an accident. You know, we should not be promoting accidents as a way of getting money instead of working hard in life.
Yeah, we got to keep past that. So I'm really calling today about, I want to talk about Troy Carter yesterday going over to the detention centers here in Louisiana okay. with some of the members of Congress
kinda
and all that.
I'm kind of limited on time, but go ahead, James.
Okay, yeah, well, I just wanted to say that I think that was a great message to get out there, go and talk to people. Congress has the vote, the media has the mic, and the people have the message. Trump has showed that with his voters. He listens to what they say, and he does what they say. More Democrats need to do more of listening to the people and not just thinking the media has the message. And I think we need to start chipping into that 39% of Trump supporters who've been hanging in tight. I think this is a good time to start chipping away at some of them and making some good headway. But again, I'd like to thank Troy Carter for being the wolf yesterday and getting out there and getting the message out, man. That was a great interview he had on Racial Matter last night. He really spoke for the people, and he wanted to make it a message. It ain't just for the names that we see out there, but it's for the people, the names we don't hear. And when you talk about free speech, that could be any of us. That could be us calling in or texting into this show.
No, that's right. That's true.
Online.
That's
so we
true.
All have to be very aware. Voice of America got its voice back, so I'm glad to mention that today and all that. They won in court. Voice of America will be back
yep,
on
that's
the
right.
air.
That's right.
But we still have to watch out. They're trying to take away the rights of people with nonprofits. They're trying to go after library money. So there's a lot of things we still have to be aware of, people.
James, I agree with you. I appreciate the call. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar on this day in 1616, William Shakespeare died at the age of 52. His play, Romeo and Juliet, was one of the ones that really sort of established a prototype for love tragedies. And there have been so many. Ironically, this is also William Shakespeare's birthday. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, coming up in the next hour, I'll give you my review of the movie Conclave, which was in movie theaters recently. I saw it the other night on the internet. It's about what happens in the Catholic Church behind the scenes when a pope dies. How timely. That and more next. I'm Scoot on WWL.